Well, now if Chris is here, we can start.
Oh, no.
Okay, welcome. Well, Kathy, as you've heard, isn't going to be here this morning. She put an embroidery needle through her finger last night, or late yesterday afternoon, so we spent 3.5 hours in the emergency room and stuff, so she's sitting there with her finger all wrapped up this morning on drugs.
Your finger in the air, yeah. Throbbing away.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm going to be doing this by myself today. So I thought I would start out just like Todd and Julie did last week, telling you a little bit about Kathy and I. Kathy and I's marriage is a product of a blind date. Now, sometimes blind dates don't turn out well, but in our case, it did. She had a friend and I had a friend, and they were getting married, and they invited me over when they were planning the wedding. She was on the bride's side, and I was on the groom's side, and so they brought it. I got a call one night. I said, "Do you want to come over and make it a foursome?" And I said, "Sure." I wasn't doing anything, so went over. And that was the first time I met Kathy, and then at the wedding rehearsal, they had us sitting together at the table, and then at the wedding, they had us put together at the table, and they went on from there. We started dating, and so anyway, that's how we met, and life has been interesting ever since. So it's all right. So I got the topic of communication, and I got to thinking, I'd forgotten about this, but when I was at Davenport, my minor was in communication. So
so you it's got a, it all figured out. Maybe.
Yeah, I forgot all about it. All the time. So I got this assignment to do communication, and I got to thinking, yeah, that sounds familiar. I think I've done studies on that. Anyway, so we'll talk about communication today, and for the basis of it, I'm going to use Ephesians chapter 4. Some verses from the latter part of the chapter. Ephesians 4, 25. I'll read all 25 through 32. I'm going to be picking some principles out of this passage. It says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." There's a lot of principles in those few verses on communication, communicating with one another. True oneness in marriage begins with good communication. And there's differing areas where that's important. When I've done premarital counseling, I've told people it's important that you communicate and be on one page in several different areas, or in a few different areas. One is the number one spot is faith. You have to have the same faith. You have to be on the same page. Next thing is finances. You have to be on the same page regarding finances. And then disciplining of children. And in all those areas, you need communication. When my wife and I met and started dating and so on, she was from a different faith background than I was. I was from the Reformed faith. She was from the Free Methodist Church, which is Arminian. So there was a basic faith difference in some areas, and we had to communicate in that area to make sure we ended up on the same page. Now, my wife was such that she was like, Ruth, your God is going to be my God, and your family is going to be my family. And so she submitted to my leadership in that area. So over time, that's an area where we grew in. Now she and I are on the same page in that area. finances, another area you're going to find it's necessary to communicate in your marriage. Because finances can be a detriment, can be a stumbling block in many marriages. People get on the wrong page. They're not on the same page. One wants to spend and the other one wants to save. And so you can get to developing fights over how you spend your money. So it's important to be on the same page there. And then also in disciplining of children, it's necessary to be on the same page there. You need to have each other's backs. You need to always provide a united front for your children. So you need to communicate that with each other. You need to talk to each other. You don't live your lives in a vacuum. So, but I want to pick out four different things as we go through Ephesians here. First one would be honesty. And we talk about that in Ephesians 4:25. It says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And you could say, speak truth, each one of you, with your spouse. It's important to be truthful, to be honest with each other. Now, to be honest with each other means you're going to have to admit if you have problems. If you're dealing with an issue in your life, you need to communicate that to your wife or to your husband. Be willing to admit you have problems. Life isn't always a bed of roses. My wife and I went through a few of those in our life because, I had to come home sometimes and tell my wife, I lost my job today. Those aren't easy things to admit, especially for a guy. You have to go home and say, I lost my job today. It's a difficult thing, but the thing of it is, if you have a loving, supportive wife, she's there to stand beside you. So communication is very important in your marriage and being willing to admit to the problems that you might have. Also under that is you need to be willing to express thoughts and concerns to each other. And sometimes in expressing thoughts and concerns to each other, you have to be careful how you do that. People can, you have to be careful on how you word things. And also maybe the level of your voice. You don't want to yell. And that was something that I had to deal with in my life because my father was a yeller. And so I always vowed I would never do that. But that was one of those things I had to deal with as I grew in my spiritual life and in my marriage, to be careful not to be a yeller. And my wife even nowadays says I'm too loud sometimes. She starts going like this. Calm down, Dale. Lower your voice. So you have to be willing to express thoughts and concerns to each other. Then also honesty is not a license to be unkind. Speak the truth in love. You have to be careful words you use, your attitude. All those things are important in communicating. You communicate also in other ways. You can communicate in the way you look at each other. Sometimes I can tell just by the way my wife looks at me. Okay, Dale, I've got a problem. those are different areas of communication. You can communicate via hugs or not giving hugs. Those are also ways of communication. And so all of them have to be in the appropriate time and place. So your tone, your diction, your actions, all those are forms of communication that you have to be careful of. Then as we go on in here, maybe I should ask if you have questions or comments first before I hit the next point.
How long have you been
It'll be 49 years in June. So we've come a long ways. So, yep. And it's had its issues during time. We never, like Todd and Julie said last week, the divorce word has never entered our marriage. We made that commitment. We communicated that commitment to each other way in the beginning, that would not be an option. We would work through things, however long it took, whatever it took, we would work through things. And so we have. And that's one of the nice things when you have a marriage where you communicate with each other, where you can feel free to talk to each other. You don't even have, it's a very at peace kind of thing. Even though there might be some rocky spots, it still gives you a certain amount of peace that you know that there's not going to be that divorce word thrown out. So, anything else? Okay. The second one is in Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, where it says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." The thing here that's important, I think, is there's several things. One is to keep short accounts with your spouse. Be sure you, if issues do come up, you talk them through that day. You don't put things off till later. If you do get angry with one another, make sure that before, and my wife and I always had this policy that before we would go to bed, we'd make sure that any issues that we had were going to be resolved. We did not go to bed angry at each other. And so I think that's an important thing, to keep short accounts with your wife, with your spouse. So it helps prevent future problems if you do that. Deal with the present, not the past. Unless, of course, maybe the past would help with a current problem you're going through. Don't bring up things that have been settled in the past. Don't keep bringing them up. You don't need to use the phrase, "I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget what you've done." That's not a good thing. So you just put those things in the past, they're done. You try not to deal with them again. So you don't have reruns on old arguments. Another thing is know when to speak and when to hold your tongue. Sometimes it's wise to be slow to speak. I think there's some proverbs about that, that you kind of hold your tongue, wait. Sometimes you have to take into consideration the timing of certain things. Sometimes there's a timing issue involved where it may not be the right time. When a husband comes home from work at a higher day, he doesn't like to be hit right at the door with a whole bunch of stuff. Well, the kids did this today and the kids did that today, and I've had a really bad day. Sometimes the timing is better just to wait, let things settle down, and then calmly, you know, say, you know, I've had some issues today, and start walking through them. So, know when to speak and when to hold your tongue. Now, sometimes you have to also ask yourself some questions to ask yourself before you start into some discussion is, do I have the facts right? And admit if you're not sure. Sometimes we get certain impressions of certain problems and the facts may not be right. And if your wife states something to you, sometimes it's wise to repeat the question back, and the same for husband and wife, whichever your spouse, repeat the question back. Okay, am I understanding this correctly? Is this what you mean? To make sure that you understand what the situation is. Is the timing right? Is my attitude right? Attitude is very important. Do you have a prideful, arrogant attitude that you have the answer, and so you just do what I tell you? That usually doesn't fly, at least not in my house. Are my words loving? Am I communicating a loving tone, loving attitude when I'm talking to my spouse? And then, of course, always, have I prayed for God's help? If it's a situation that's really extremely sticky, have you prayed about it? And sometimes it's good for you and your wife to pray about issues together. I noticed Todd and Julie mentioned that last week. Praying together about issues you have in your family is important. And very, very important to do. And then, don't let things fester. That's what it means here. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You don't let things fester for any long period of time, because all that does is make things worse. When you try to sweep things under the rug and say, well, I don't want to bother with that now. And you just stew about it. And that's not a good thing to do. So don't go to bed angry. Any questions, comments so far? Really simple.
That's good.
All right. Then the third thing is attack problems in person. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So remember that words can harm. The phrase sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words never, that's not a true statement. Sticks and stones are just temporary hurts. Words can last a long time. In some cases, I know they've lasted lifetimes. Things that kids have been abused with verbally in when they were younger can affect them their whole life. So it's always important to be careful on using words that edify, it says here, according to the need of the moment. So we'll give grace to those who hear. This is not only true in communicating with your spouse, but also in communicating with your children. It's easy to use verbal language with your kids. Sometimes rather than spanking, you use words. And those can be just as devastating or more so than the spanking that they may get. So important to communicate appropriately with your children. Express negative feelings constructively. Be constructive in what you say. Don't destroy. Be destructive. If you're going to have to be critical, make sure that the criticizing is done in love. I had a boss one time talking about even facial expressions when you're talking to people are important. I had a boss one time. I was in insurance sales for a while, and the boss told a story about he was on a call with another insurance agent, and they were the way it was. You went into an appointment first and got what they needed, talked about their needs, all they needed as far as insurance and whatever. Then you'd go and prepare a plan, and then you'd come back. Well, on the return appointment, my boss says, I was sitting in the kind of an adjoining room and letting this other fellow who was kind of training do the presentation, and it wasn't going very well because all of a sudden this client wasn't agreeing with the plan, and the fellow replied to this client, well, were you lying to me the other day, or are you lying to me now? My boss says, I just cringed. I thought, oh, no. But the thing of it was, he kind of said it in a joking, lighthearted manner. He had a smile on his face. So the guy took it very well. So sometimes it's important how you are, you know, are you smiling? Or do you have a good demeanor about you? Or are you really stern and angry? So communicate with facial expression.
Okay.
Pardon?
We're just laughing at the story. Yeah.
So, anyway, so that's important also in how you say things. Have self-control in your speaking. Keep calm. Don't raise your voice. I know I've said that before. And that's because I've always had an issue with raising my voice. So I'm still working on that. That's one thing I know I have to communicate to you as well. I don't have all this perfect yet. Even after 49 and a half years, I'm still working on stuff. And I think you're going to find that with your marriages all through your life. There's going to be a lot of stuff you're going to be working on for your whole life. It's never going to be totally solved. Be sure to listen as well as just speaking. In other words, be slow to speak. Make sure you're listening to your partner. Sometimes I have a problem with, I'm already thinking about how to respond while she's trying to tell me something. My mind's already running ahead and figuring out how I'm going to respond to this. And I get it wrong sometimes. So it's important to just kind of slow yourself down. Just really listen to what your spouse is trying to tell you. It's very important. Be sure to listen as well as just speaking. I just said that. Avoid mind reading or assuming you know what the other one is thinking. That's what I was referring to. Trying to read their mind before you even know the whole story. And you're already thinking ahead. And then listen also without being defensive. Sometimes when we're starting to listen, we're already thinking about how I'm going to defend myself. When your wife is telling you you've got a problem, you're already trying to think ahead, okay, now how can I get myself out of this mess? And so be careful and try to listen without being defensive, without trying to come to some kind of reason why things are the way they are. Then Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Act, don't react. And that's something that I think everybody does. We tend to react to situations and to conversations rather than being ready to act. Several things there. Don't blame shift. That's a very, very common thing nowadays. We don't like to take responsibility for our actions. We don't like to take responsibility for our words. So we communicate in a way such we blame shift. We try to shift the blame to somebody else or something else. Sometimes we try to blame our kids. Sometimes we try to blame our spouse. When in reality, we're responsible for our own actions and our own words. Own your mistakes. Don't make excuses. Very, very important that we acknowledge the fact, yes, I made a mistake, and verbalize it. You don't necessarily have to just figure, well, she knows that I made a mistake. Verbalize it. Apologize. Say you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. That's one of the biggies, is ask forgiveness for your mistakes. We're not perfect. Seek causes of problems. Sometimes you can brainstorm with your wife or your spouse. And try to analyze and work through problems you have together. Sit down and go through your issues. There was one, I just read a book recently where the counselor told the husband and wife to go home and set up a conference table. And at this conference table, they were have those one or, I think, twice a week, they were supposed to have a set time where they'd sit down at a conference table and go through any issues that they were struggling with, and they have pencil and paper, write down their issues, and try to come to almost operate like a business. And you go through and you iron out your issues that you have. And if you need to do that, that's fine. But some way or other, you need to have time to talk to your wife and to iron out issues. Now, when you have kids, sometimes that happens when the kids go to bed at night. And that's a good time to kind of debrief with your spouse about how her day went, and then she can ask you how your day went, and debrief and see if there's any issues that need to be dealt with. You'll be doing a lot more communicating. A lot of your communication during those child rearing days will be about your children, I guarantee, and about how you discipline and what issues are coming to the fore. And so that's why, I hate to say it, but that's why some people end up after their kids are gone, that's when they have marital problems, is because there's no longer the common thing of their kids to talk about and to deal with. All of a sudden it's just those two, and they go off in their separate directions and they don't communicate anymore with each other. And so I strongly encourage you, don't wait until your kids are gone to communicate with your spouse. You need to communicate during the normal course of life. Take time to communicate with your wife or your spouse, your husband, so that those things won't cause issues. You need to be tender-hearted to each other. Be willing to change your habits and attitudes. That's important. You have to be willing to change. Be flexible. You can't have a hard-nosed plan necessarily when you're going through your married life, because there's always going to be roadblocks thrown up. There's always going to be issues that are going to come up. You're going to have to navigate. And that's why it's important to communicate. You can't run your marriage just on your plan and figure that everything's going to come out all right. You have to be flexible. And I say this especially to husbands. You need to be flexible. Be tender-hearted. My wife has been the most loyal and supportive individual in my life for all these 49 plus years. I wouldn't be where I am today without her. We've gone through some hard times, and she's always communicated support and loyalty, and so it's very important in your life to realize you have a partner. It's one flesh, you know. You're doing this together. You're doing life together, and so you communicate. It's important. And that's especially true also in disciplining children. Communicate to your children your love for your wife. Guys, communicate to your children the love for your wife, because especially as they get to be teenagers, they can badmouth your wife. And I followed my father's example there. You never badmouth mother. You were in deep trouble if you badmouth mother. And so my kids experienced the same thing. I was very firm with them. You do not badmouth your mother. And so it's very important, I think, to set that standard, because your kids are going to be gone someday. Your wife is yours for as long as you live. So treat that person with respect that's due and love. So, any questions or comments so far? Because I about covered my material that I had. So if you have anything you'd like to say, there's time. Otherwise, back there, Peter?
So, practically, you mentioned the verse about letting all anger, wrath, malice, and so on be put away from you.
Uh-huh.
How do you, in the moment, rein yourself in?
That's difficult. You have to be, that's one of those things where you have to make yourself, you have to be aware of what's happening, and you have to kind of just clam up. Sometimes maybe need to have a change of scenery. You need to go take a walk, go into another room. Sometimes just getting yourself out of the situation at the moment is a good thing to do. Walks are really good. And
they'll cause you to clear your head. You can kind of calm yourself down. In fact, I'd recommend that even before you even, if you find yourself going that way, just excuse yourself and say, I need to take a walk. And come back and continue the conversation when you've calmed down. So.
Yeah, the walks are much better than drives.
Yes.
You can drive way too aggressively when
you're driving. That's right. That's right. That's very true.
So. Speaking of walks, Dean and I take a lot of walks together because we have a dog that has to go for a walk. And we find that's a good time just to kind of talk about things of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when you're not facing each other, you're walking side by side, you can kind of air things sometimes. Yeah. A little easier, you know, and it just gives you a regular time to be together. It gives you some exercise, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's a
good idea. Good thought.
Would you be willing to share some of the major issues you and your wife had faced?
We really didn't have any really major issues.
Anything that we usually got into tips about was usually the minor, the minor things. The little things. And that's where those little foxes they talk about can spoil the whole thing. It can be just the little things that build up over time and you get nitpicky. I think some of those cause more issues than some of the major things, because the major things, you say, wow, we got a problem, so you naturally start to communicate. But it's the little things that, oh, you kind of just push it aside, but after a while, they can build up. And then they can explode. So it's better if you see that those little things are starting to build up to kind of clear the air. But yeah, I can't say we've ever really had any major issues that we had to deal with. It's mostly the little things that kind of caused issues. Anything else? Nothing? All right. Well, I guess Christine's going to be down here. And so you can meet with Christine. And next week, I don't know, who's teaching next week? I don't know. Who's doing it next week? Who's on the docket for next week?
Next week, you'll find out.
Next week, you'll find out. I don't know if it's either Jim and Sharon or Mike and Jane. Mike and Jane? Michael and Jane? Okay. So Michael and Jane, I think they're going to talk on parenting, I think. So for all of you young parents, next week is your week.